This is Family Policy Matters. This program is produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council, a pro-family research and education organization dedicated to strengthening and preserving the family. And now from the studio, here's John Rustin, president of the North Carolina Family Policy Council.
Thank you for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. It is our pleasure to have Glenn Stanton with us on the show again. Glenn is Director of Family Formation Studies at Focus on the Family, and he debates and lectures extensively on the issues of gender, sexuality, marriage, and parenting. Glenn is the author of several books, including The Ring Makes All the Difference and Secure Daughters, Confident Sons. We're going to be talking with Glenn today about his new book, Loving My LGBT Neighbor, Being Friends in Grace and Truth, which tackles an important question for us today, and that is, how should we as Christians respond to and interact with the homosexual community? Glenn, thanks so much for being with us again on Family Policy Matters.
Well, you bet. It's my pleasure.
Well, we're delighted to have you again and appreciate so much all the great work that you do at Focus on the Family. Now, Glenn, I know you've been studying issues related to human sexuality for over a decade in your job at Focus on the Family. What motivated you to write a book on how Christians should reach out in love to our neighbors who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered, or LGBT, as our culture has come to refer to those living in those lifestyles?
Well, that's a good question. And primarily because this has become such a big issue in our culture. I mean, it's you know, facing so many of us, whether it's within our own family or our workplace or in our neighborhood, or, you know, it will be in the short time. And second, I just don't really think many of us are really happy or pleased with the way that the church is handling this issue. And when I say that, I mean we're either, you know, completely on one extreme or the other, and that has really been concerning me. On one extreme, we have, you know, just absolute denunciation. These people are bad. We don't want anything to do with them. Or we have just complete uncritical exception. Like, can't we all just get along? Can't we all just, you know, forget all these issues and troubles? And, you know, why does things have to be so contentious? What I want to do is find that middle ground. Jesus told us, or the scriptures told us, that Jesus came to us full of grace and truth. And so how do we live that way of who Jesus is in the midst of this issue, living in the truth of the issue, but also being gracious and graceful to the person in front of us that we're dealing with? And I think that's a balance that we as Christians absolutely need to get right. And this is a book to try to help us do that.
Well, I think it's great that you have tackled this question and this issue, because it's a challenge and we are being confronted with it on a daily basis. And so it's really important that you have spoken so eloquently to this issue and have provided the kind of counsel that you have. Now, Glenn, I know your book, Loving My LGBT Neighbor, is really predicated on a command given to us by Jesus Christ in the Bible that we as Christians should love our neighbors as ourselves. What, from your perspective, does it mean to love your neighbor as yourself as it relates to this particular issue?
Well, it's interesting that you even put the question in that way, because remember when Jesus said that, there was a young man who spoke up and said, "Who's my neighbor?" And he wasn't really wanting to know the fullness of that question. He was basically trying to get permission not to love those people over there. And Jesus answers him and says, you know what, the people that you do not want to love the most are the people that you should be loving the most. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the story of the Good Samaritan. And that is the issue, that we are called to love not only our neighbor, but within Christianity, Christ calls us to love our enemies as well. So we as Christians have a very big calling. And we can tend to think about, oh, we need to love our enemies, so that means, you know, be nice to them and don't be mean to them. No, love is a radical word. It means to seek them, to care for them, to look out for what's best for them, to, you know, to turn the other cheek and things like that. So that's the question, and that's what this book deals with, is how do we deal with the issue itself in uncompromising truth, but then deal with the people involved on the other side of this issue in uncompromising grace. And it really does come not, you know, academically. It comes from the number of friendships that I've developed with those people that I engage in this issue and you know, spiritedly disagree with, as well as, you know, a number of people that I work with, you know, across the country. I use lots and lots of examples of people that are doing this well.
Well, and speaking of friendship, you write in the book that friendship is not a means to an end, but really an end in itself. Explain what you mean by that and why the distinction is so important, particularly when dealing with individuals living in the LGBT lifestyle.
Well, you know, we'll often say, well, of course, you know, we need to be friends with those people. And I say those in, you know, in air quotes. And we think, yeah, of course we need to be friends with those people, because how in the world are we going to share the gospel with them if we don't become friends? Sharing the gospel is very, very important, but it can't be the means to that end. Friendship is the end. It is the means to the end. It's we can't befriend somebody in order to do something or to make them our project. Nobody likes to be somebody's project. As important as that project may be, which is the gospel, it is worth just being people's friends for being their friends. And so that's very important for us to understand. And then other things will come out of that.
Well, and I guess it really goes back to the fundamental circumstance that we find ourselves in, that due to God's grace and mercy that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to sacrifice himself on our behalf so that we could enter into a relationship with him. It is so much about the relationship. Again, as you said, it's not a means to an end. It's really the end in and of itself is developing those relationships. And that's so key and so important in this whole discussion. Now, Glenn, one of the things I love about the book is that you get into some really practical issues that are facing Christians right now. Just, you know, as we live out our daily lives, how are we to respond? How are we to seek to engage in these relationships and these friendships that we're talking about? And it's particularly challenging with the national battle raging across the nation over marriage. One question, for example, is what about a circumstance where there's a same-sex couple that moves into the house next door? For parents with kids especially, this could be a concern. How do you suggest that we handle this situation? How can we be neighborly, as you have discussed, but do so without affirming a lifestyle that we do not support and that we believe really violates the tenets of the Bible?
Yeah, well, first of all, is to understand, and this is where I come at it from the beginning of the book, and that is to understand whoever your neighbor is, understand a couple of things about them. God created them as human beings. God loves them as human beings. And just like everybody else in the world, including ourselves, we are tainted with a terminal illness called sin. And every one of us are struggling with that. And so regardless of who it is that moves in with us next door, you know, we are loved by God, we are cared for by God, created by God, but we are all separated hopelessly from God and really rebellious against him. And every one of us need the hope and the life that the gospel gives us. And without that, every one of us are separated. So I like to say, okay, so how do you deal with a gay and lesbian neighbor? Fits perfectly within that, just like, you know, anybody else does. And so the issue is, you know, if they're nice people, you be nice to them. If they're not such nice people, you still try to, as much as you can, be nice to them. Treat them neighborly. Surprise them and let them know we want to be your friends until you give us reason not to want to be your friends. Now, with kids, that's different. And we have dealt with this with our kids. We have five kids. And we've just simply had to explain to them. Now, Sheila and Joe next door, they have kind of a different life. They don't know Jesus. And like a lot of us, when we don't know Jesus, we choose things that are wrong. And they live together, and we don't approve of that, but we are called to love them and care for them. And that's what we're going to try to do. And, you know, you just do it as simply as that. And then let your kids see you do that well. One, without compromising on the issue, but also not compromising on your care and kindness and thoughtfulness to those people.
Well, Glenn, I think some Christians who have LGBT friends and family members struggle with a little bit of guilt at times when it comes to the marriage issue. And as they question whether they can really love their LGBT neighbor and also take a public stand against same-sex marriage, and this is kind of where the rubber can meet the road in a circumstance like that we were just speaking of, is it possible to oppose same-sex marriage, for example, and still maintain meaningful relationships with our neighbors who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgender?
Absolutely, yes. But the way that this issue has been defined by our opponents on the other side creates this understanding that either you accept everything about me and never resist me in any way, or you have to basically be called a hater. We can walk and chew gum, as I say. We can disagree on these fundamental issues and still be gracious and kind to each other. And I think that that's very important. And I really see it in my life as a challenge to say, okay, I am not going to agree with you. I believe as I believe as a Christian, and I believe it uncompromisingly, but I am going to demonstrate to you purely and consistently as much as I can that I care for you as a person, so that I will, in a sense, make it impossible for you to hold to your storyline that I have to completely agree with you in order to really care for you as a person. I think the church needs to demonstrate that, that yes, I can very much disagree with you, but I can unconditionally love you in the sense of do anything that I need to do for you as a friend. But again, that doesn't mean that I need to change my convictions. What other issue do we have where friendship is predicated on complete agreement on a particular issue? I mean, we don't live that way in any other world, and we shouldn't live that way on this issue. And it's unfair for the other side to demand that of us. It's unrealistic, and we should point that out.
Well, I think that's a great point. And Glenn, before we go, I just want to ask you, what kind of response has your book received from the LGBT community? Has it been praised? Has it been criticized? Has it been ridiculed, or some of all of the above?
You know, John, it is really, really surprising, and this may be hard for some people to kind of wrap their heads around, because it was for me. It has gotten the most positive from those in the gay and lesbian community, and they see that I am not compromising, that I, you know, don't give any leeway on the conviction on the issue. But they want to know that even if we don't agree with them, that they are and can be loved. And what that shows me is deep, deep, deep in the human heart, people just want to be loved. And we make the mistake that, well, loving them and caring for them means that we have to agree with them. They want to know that they are lovable. And, I mean, spiritually, that's such a big, big thing. And that is the reaction that I'm getting from them is, okay, I know you don't agree with me, but it's very clear that you love me. And they are grasping on to that. That's a wonderful challenge and invitation for the church to be that kind of person, to love the other person while still remaining true to what it is that Scripture teaches.
Well, that's a great concluding thought for our show this week. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but before we go, Glenn, I want to ask you where our listeners can go to get a copy of your new book, Loving My LGBT Neighbor.
They can go to local bookstores around them, or they can go to Christian book distributors, CBD, or places like Amazon, or even by contacting Moody Book Publishers themselves, or any of the local bookstores around them.
Well, Glenn Stanton, thank you for being with us on Family Policy Matters and sharing your great insights from your excellent new book and for all of your great work at Focus on the Family. We are truly grateful for you and all that Focus does.
Well, likewise, John. Thank you so much.
Family Policy Matters is an information and analysis feature of the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Join us weekly for discussion on policy issues affecting the family. If you have questions or comments, please contact us at 919-807-0800 or visit our website at ncfamily.org.